Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to Off the Mark. I'm Andrew. He's Aaron. Let's get right into the news. TNA is set to do free pay-per-views. What's going on with this, Aaron?
So if you remember a couple weeks back, we talked about the possibility of doing free pay-per-views and how you and I both said it would be a really great idea for WWE to do this. Well, apparently TNA is actually set to record a quote-unquote free pay-per-view, where they're going to be doing a special that's going to be 3 hours long, and it's going to be called a pay-per-view for free. So my guess is that they're listening to our show, and they got some really great ideas from it.
Yes, they are. I was told Dixie Carter wants us to wrestle. I had to inform her that we have no real training. Well, at least technically you don't, but we could probably wing it. So we're going to, you know, and then we're going to have
our first match
is going to be with ICP. That's going to be awesome. Anyways, so Vince McMahon has banned Shawn Michaels, his likeness, from being used.
So kind of a weird story, but there is a rumor going around right now backstage that Shawn Michaels' likeness is not to be used. But there's kind of a different story being told, which we're going to get into a little bit later. So, but moving along from that, Linda McMahon. Now, we don't normally talk about politics on here.
Nope.
But Linda McMahon, who's running for Senate in Connecticut, she is getting a lot of heat for the Eugene character. There were actually ads put out talking about how she made fun of mentally handicapped people. What do you think about this?
I've been waiting for this to come out this entire time. Finally, people were like, hey, let's talk about Eugene. I mean, pretty soon you're going to hear about Doink and Dink. They're going to be making fun of midgets next. I'm sorry, little people. I was just waiting for this.
You know, here's the thing. I actually didn't even think about Eugene. I was thinking about, you know, we talked about before about how her getting tombstoned or her being in a vegetative state and Vince McMahon making out with Trish Stratus. That's what I was thinking about. But literally, her husband is making fun of a mentally handicapped person. So, dude, it's kind of interesting.
I got two words for you, all right? Katie Vick. Okay.
And that we're going to get into in a little bit. Moving along to Raw, there is some dissension in the Raw ranks. In particular, we have 7-on-7 Raw versus Nexus. And the members of the Raw team can't get along. Do you think this is a good angle for them to go on going into SummerSlam?
Yeah. Stupid. I mean, I don't like what they're... I mean, I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep the heels, the faces. They're trying to do that. I just don't like what they're doing. In all seriousness, I don't like how they're going to SummerSlam when they should have been dragging this out till Survivor Series. You know, I'm just saying, Survivor Series. That's what they should have been doing, but they weren't. But whatever. You know,
Agree with you on that point, by the way, because that's what I was thinking. It's a 7-on-7 elimination match, and personally, this is something that they should be doing at Survivor Series. That's why I personally like Survivor Series. I like 4-on-4, 5-on-5 elimination matches, you know? So I definitely agree with you there. The one thing, though, that we talked about in the news about Shawn Michaels' likeness from being banned, the interesting point is that Michael Cole... he was talking about the anonymous GM, and he teased that it was Shawn Michaels. You know, he said that, you know, the GM, someone from San Antonio, Texas, who said, I've got two words for you. And Shawn Michaels is, you know, member DX and from San Antonio. So do you think it's smart for them to tease this? Or do you think it'd be a good idea for Shawn Michaels to be the GM?
I don't think it's a good idea for him being the GM. It doesn't make sense to me, at least. I mean, I know they're teasing it, but I don't think it's a good tease. I mean, him being GM, yeah, it's kind of cool and stuff, but I just don't. I don't care for it. I mean, it'll be nice to see him back, but come on, get someone, get a, be original. Right. Should Jericho turn face, though? I actually think not. He's too good of a heel.
Yeah, this is kind of going along with the dissension in the Raw ranks, and I actually probably should put the story before the Shawn Michaels one, but the thing is, Jericho was getting such a pop on Monday night. People were chanting Y2J, people were shouting Chris and Jericho, and they were just going crazy for him. Even though he was being kind of a jerk to John Cena. So what do you think about that? I mean, with that in there, he gets pops at the pay-per-views, and John Cena gets heel heat. People chant Cena sucks and Jericho rules. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, Cena does suck, and it depends on where they're at. I mean, it really depends on the venue, because if it's a Mark venue, then of course they're going to love Cena and hate Jericho. But if it's a smart place, you know, basically the major place like Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, I'm forgetting some other places, but they're of course are going to know what's going on. And Texas too, also. I mean, that's a big, most people know what's going on there too. Of course you're going to get heel heat from, you know, Cena, because some people just don't care for him. They don't like him, period. That's it. And some people are huge fans of Jericho. Huge fans of Jericho.
Which is something I want to comment on real quick, too. I mean, this is something we probably should talk about after the pay-per-views. But Jericho gets such big pops. And it's really funny because Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler have to go and say something about it, because you're hearing these huge chants. So they say, a lot of respect going out tonight for Chris Jericho. You know, even though he calls these fans hypocrites and parasites, you know, a lot of respect is going out for his accomplishments, you know. So I don't know. I've always found that really funny. Always found it funny.
What, coming from Michael Cole? Because he can't announce?
He's the worst. He seriously is the worst. So moving along to SmackDown, Mysterio was revealed to be Undertaker's attacker.
Oh, come on. Seriously?
It's going to be a swerve. You know it is. Kane said, Undertaker said Rey Mysterio is the attacker.
So it's going to be someone short or with a mask.
Yeah.
Is Shane Helms coming back?
No, unfortunately not. But his 90-day clause is up, so he could go to TNA.
He won't go there. So Mysterio is revealed as his attack. That's ridiculous. Oh, come on. Who writes it? Oh, Stephanie does.
Mysterio's 5 foot nothing, and The Undertaker is close to 7 feet tall. Are you meaning to tell me that the little short guy attacked and put Undertaker in a comatose state? No one's going to believe that, first of all. And secondly, you're really hurting Mysterio's character, even though it is a swerve, in my opinion. So last week on SmackDown, basically all the heels won. You know, you had Dolph Ziggler, you had Cody Rhodes, and you had Drew McIntyre win. This week, we had the faces win, so you had Kofi and Christian take victories over their respective opponents. Do you like the mid-card feuds that are going on right now on SmackDown?
Yes and no. There's some feuds I would love to see, but they're not going to happen for a while. I would love to see Low-Key and I want to say Matt Sydal. Evan Bourne feud. I want to see that so bad. I want to see it right now. And I know that he's still in NXT, but I just want him to get eliminated, bring him to Raw, then have him do his thing. Because it would be such a good match. I mean, I think what will happen is they're going to wrestle at WrestleMania. I know that's a long ways away, but dude, they are just... those two guys just kicking butt.
Now, what do you think, though, about last week? I talked about the six mid-carders. I had Kofi, Christian, Matt Hardy, Dolph Ziggler, Cody Rhodes, and Drew McIntyre. I was talking about how those six are kind of in an interchangeable feud. What do you think about that? Do you like those? Going after the IC title?
Yeah, actually, it's perfect because it makes the belt look a lot better. I mean, when you have six guys who basically you can put any of the six into a feud with each other and you can tie it into the belt, I mean, that's the way to go. Hands down. And I think it's going to make the belt appear even stronger. I mean, the IC belt's going to look so good, opposed to the US belt that's stuck on the Miz. But yeah, I did like the fact that they had, like, you know, last week they had all the, you know, heels win, And then this week they faced one, but it was coming off a pay-per-view, so you can't really say anything about that. Before we move, so we're going to talk about NXT. I just got done watching it. Literally just got done watching it. Mustache? I didn't get that. Am I missing something?
A few weeks back, they gave, the stupid challenges they have, which I absolutely hate, and to be honest, I think takes away from NXT, in my opinion. Yep. But Eli Cottonwood was given the word mustache. So he had to talk about a mustache for 30 seconds. And he botched it. I mean, he really did. I mean, he either is a genius because he did it on purpose, or he's an idiot. He's a bumbling idiot. But he talked about a mustache, and so apparently they decided to put mustache on his shirt and then eliminate him, So, I don't know. The mustache thing I thought was kind of weird. But what do you think about him getting eliminated?
I mean, he is going to get eliminated. But what I didn't understand was what happened at the end? Why did he come back out and start beating people up? That didn't make sense to me at all.
Well, I mean, he was announced as being last, and so he went and, as opposed to say last words, he just went and started attacking everyone. So, I don't know. They wanted to make him look strong, I guess.
I mean, eventually he'll be something, but like I said, I thought he was not – I didn't think he should be called up. He was one of the few people who I just couldn't believe got called up so early. He was not ready.
Yeah, I agree
ready.
With you. So, but speaking of the rankings, we had – realistically, there wasn't a whole lot of change. People moved only one spot or no spots at all, except for Mr. Perfect's son. He went from number 3 to number 1. Do you think he warranted to be number 1?
Yeah, I thought that Percy went from 2 to 4.
I think he was – no, he wasn't number 2. But I think he was – I think 3 or 4 went from 3 to 4. I don't know. I could take a look.
He went down to 4. I know that. That's why I was confused, because Alex Riley was number 4.
Oh, and, was he?
Yeah, Alex Riley was number 4, and he's like, that's why I'm number 3. He's like, Mm-hmm. But yeah, one thing I will say, I do like this class. Now we're getting to the part where I'm like, oh, geez, there's 6 great guys left. I just know that Lucky Can is going to be one of those that's eliminated, which I don't care for. I'm not happy about that. Husky Harris should stay in. I wish he had to go by his real name.
Yeah. By the way, you are actually correct. Percy did go from number 2 to number 4. I was incorrect on that. I actually should have put that in the notes. So that is my bad. But
oh yeah.
The thing is, to be honest, while I think that Percy I think he'll be great over on SmackDown, I actually see him getting eliminated next.
He can get eliminated. I mean, I think him and Lucky Cannon can get eliminated and it won't hurt him, but I think Husky Harris it's between him and Michael McGillicuddy. I just want to say Joe Henning still. Well, yeah. But he doesn't need it. I mean, if they were to eliminate him, I'd be ticked, because I'm like, oh, I won't be able to see Showtime. Oh, yeah, anymore. But I would also understand why, because he doesn't need it. Husky Harris, I think, needs it of all of them right now.
You know, one thing that I noticed while watching NXT this week was that after watching Caval wrestle and watching his mic skills, it really made me think that Caval realistically should never have gone on this show. It actually hurts him. And don't get me wrong. I understand that you and I both have a predilection towards Caval and Bryan Danielson, but neither of those guys, neither of them should have been on NXT. They should have been called up immediately to the Raw or SmackDown roster, and you should have had 2 other guys in there, because both of them, they work their butts off everywhere around the world. Caval, or Low Key, spent time over at your competitor, TNA, and he did great there. You could have just called him up right away. I mean, that's how WCW didn't take Scott Hall and put him to work at the power plant. They took him and they put him straight into the thick of things. That's what you're supposed to do. And I think that they really dropped the ball with Low Key and with Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, I do agree. I think they shouldn't have been in this competition, period. I mean, Bryan Danielson, him getting – then he got eliminated right away? I mean, come on. I mean, I see with Caval, I see what they're trying to do. They're like trying to say the big man or the small guy can still win. But even if Henning won – I'm sorry, McGillicuddy. If McGillicuddy won, it doesn't matter, because he's still a small guy too. But he's going to come out perfect. And I think that I think that he'll be the next Mr. Perfect, which will be awesome.
I hope that they do. I think that's one of those things that they really should go along with his father's legacy. And I think that would actually kind of make him probably feel good inside about it, you know? So, but speaking of legacies, you know what I really like?
GoDaddy? If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149, when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer Six Supply, see site for details. TNA. ECW is now known as EV 2.0?
Yeah. So what do you think about the name change?
I don't get it. Am I missing something?
It's supposed to be the extreme version 2.0. I mean, they can't use ECW. I mean, they literally can't. They actually have, they're gonna have issues with WWE, you know, if they go with the ECW name. So unfortunately they had to go with EV 2.0. Do you think the name's going to really matter, or?
I don't think it is, because technically I thought they bought ECW in the likeness. So technically, if they're doing an ECW type show, technically, can't WWE cease and desist that?
They can't for hardcore. I mean, it's just a hardcore pay-per-view, you know, and it's not branded an ECW pay-per-view. It's just a hardcore pay-per-view.
Gotcha. So. Okay, so they'll get away with it. So yeah. Beer Money joins, who do they join?
Fortune, which is Ric Flair's new stable.
What?
Which is basically the Four Horsemen. I mean, that's basically what it is. It's Four Horsemen. It's called Fortune.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. But speaking of Beer Money, they, in the best of five series against Motor City Machine Guns, they are now, they're up 2-1. They won the first two. Do you think it was smart for TNA to do this? Because you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to.
After they win the first one, and they went, you know, the second one, it's like, well, maybe Motor City Machine Guns will win it. Nope. Beer Money wins the second one. That means they're one away from victory. Mm-hmm. Guess who's going to win the next two? Guess who? You know?
Yeah, I figured as much. I mean,
do you think it was smart to do that?
I mean, how else would you do it? You know, trade wins back and forth. You got to have them win at least two in a row. And I think that's what's going to happen. Or they're going to win one, and the second one they're going to try and win, and something will happen, and then they'll be like, well, you have to do this for the pay-per-view now. And then they'll do it for the pay-per-view, just so they can get some more buys out of it. What do you think, dude?
You know, first of all, their matches, I don't know if you've seen them or not, but those matches are the reasons to tune into TNA. Beer Money is actually, for being a kind of a throwaway tag team, I believe, because it's just Beer Money, you know. They have a fun little gag going for them. But Motor City Machine Guns are the most exciting tag team in wrestling today, hands down. So it doesn't matter who they face, because they are exciting.
Yeah.
They are the ones that you are going to pay to see. So in my opinion, if you're not watching TNA, you need to for them. Mm-hmm. So
definitely. So Matt Morgan and Ken Anderson, what are my thoughts on it?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the feud?
That does nothing for me. I mean, Matt Morgan's okay, but the only way this can end is if Mr. Anderson wins. There's no other way. And what's going to happen is Matt Morgan's going to end up winning. I just have a bad feeling about it.
That would be good, though, because it'd be a swerve. You know, I would actually prefer to see that almost. So. But I actually kind of like the feud. I think that it's kind of interesting. I think that they are doing a really great job of having people feud with each other, but they're doing it in such a way that it's such a different feud than you see in WWE. And that's what I kind of like about it, because it's not, oh, this is WWE. It's like you pick either Rock Band or Guitar Hero. It's like, no. This is an alternative, or this is a, you know, this is another thing. It's a compliment, you know, to it. It's, this is an alternative to WWE, in my opinion. So, but okay. So, the main event for TNA this week was Tommy Dreamer versus Abyss, and Abyss ended up winning because Raven interfered in the match. Do you think it was smart to have Abyss get a win over Tommy Dreamer, or do you think that takes away any steam?
Good to see Raven again. I haven't seen him in a while. I don't think this really mattered. I mean, Tommy Dreamer's lost his entire career, so him losing isn't a big deal. I mean, look, it's the same thing with Ric Flair. It doesn't matter. He can win, he can lose. It doesn't matter. He's still the same person. And Tommy Dreamer's the same guy. Win or loss, doesn't matter. In fact, I think it actually helps Abyss, of all things. Even though Tommy Dreamer is, because he's an old timer technically, and
yeah,
he's over. He's no matter what, he is always over. No matter where he goes, he's over. Everyone knows who he is. He was the last ECW champion. Also, was he the last ECW TV champion? Is that right?
I don't know if he was or not.
Okay,
but
that's when I need the wrestling book out.
You know, the one thing I would say though is that, I mean, Tommy Dreamer, he looks very good for his age. I mean, I see all the other wrestlers, and a lot of them, they age noticeably. And Tommy Dreamer, I think, looks pretty much the same, you know?
I don't think – see, the thing is, I don't think he's a big drinker or, like, you know, smoker or drug user. I don't think he's that type. I mean, like, he probably has, like, you know, maybe a prescription or smokes, you know, a little bit of the green. I think that's the extent of it. I mean, I think a lot of the guys that we see that are, like, in bad shape, it's because they did a lot of drugs. A lot of drugs. So that's what I think, at least. But anyways, we have a weekly topic this week since I'm here. I had actually a problem with my setup. It's been taken care of as of right now. We'll see how long it's going to last. But we want to talk about the top 10 worst storylines in wrestling history. All right, number 10. Now,
this is according to the Bleacher Report, of course.
Yes, we should probably, I should have probably said something about that. My bad. So anyways, the first, number 10, is any angle involving David Flair. Yes, the David Flair who used to be with Stacy Keibler. Not the elf, but the wrestler.
So, I don't know. I don't think that he was that bad. I don't think he warranted to be in the top 10, but he wasn't. He didn't help out the wrestling industry, and he didn't help out his father either.
No, he's actually horrible. That's what I don't get. Horrible as a wrestler. But the number 9 is any angle involving Mae Young. I have to agree with this one as well.
I actually disagree with it because I think it should be higher up on the list.
Okay.
And the reason why is, Andy, read the last paragraph.
Read the last paragraph? Okay. Of course, everyone remembers the low point where she became involved in a sexual relationship with sexual chocolate, Mark Henry, got knocked up and gave birth to a human hand.
That is why she should be lower or higher on the list. This is like a number 3.
This is what they should be running, not stuff about Eugene. They should be running this stuff. Mae Young, Katie Vick, come on. Okay,
yeah.
So number 8, HBK and God versus the McMahons.
How stupid was this? Vince challenged HBK and said, well, you'll have God on your side, and I'll have Shane, and we'll do a tag match against each other.
Uh-huh.
How stupid is that?
Dumb. I actually now I'm starting to remember it. That's so sad. That's horrible.
It wasn't that. It was only like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was recently. I mean, but then I look at number 7, Oklahoma. That was dumb. But it was funny at first, and I was like, okay, this is not funny anymore. The first 2 weeks, you know, didn't he win the women's titles at one point?
Yeah, he had Dr. Death won.
Steve Williams? Oh, jeez. But, yeah. Okay, so... All right, I'm just reading. Some of this stuff is actually really good. Okay, I don't remember this one. Number 6, Al Wilson and Don Marie. I don't remember this one.
Yeah, this one I didn't think was that bad. I mean, there were much worse ones than this one. This one I actually kind of disagree with. For ECW, they had worse angles than this. But number 5 was Muhammad Hassan and Daivari being terrorists. Hey, this is shortly after 9/11.
So what happened with Hassan? Is he actually in the WWE still? Because I know Daivari's over in TNA. At least he was.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. To be honest, Muhammad Hassan was actually a pretty decent wrestler.
From what I remember. No, he wasn't a good wrestler. He was great on the mic.
Maybe that's what it was.
He was not a very good wrestler.
See, that's the thing about wrestling sometimes that you remember are people who were great on the mic. And, you know, him, I mean, he was pretty good on the mic. But I agree with this. I don't think it was that bad. I think it probably could have been a number 10. But it had some pretty dumb stuff in there. Yeah. So.
Dude, I can't believe I didn't read the. Okay, I should let everyone know I haven't read this top 10 yet. Okay. And then of all things, number 4, Kane and Katie Vick.
Okay, before we get into that, one thing I should say is about Muhammad Hassan. It said, did I mention that this episode of SmackDown aired the same day as an Al Qaeda terrorist attack on downtown London?
Oh, so
it was really, really insensitive. So, yeah. But number 4, Kane and Katie Vick.
Unbelievable.
This one was pretty good, I thought.
I like how the hurricane is mentioned.
Triple H, he had sex with her dead body.
Really?
Yeah, you don't remember that? That's the Katie Vick thing. Triple H had sex with Katie Vick.
I forgot that they had relations.
This should not be number 4. This should be number 1, in my opinion.
Definitely so far, I believe, is number 1. Number 3, Buff Bagwell in the wheelchair incident. Oh, gosh.
So this was where he actually broke his neck.
Oh, do I remember that? Because Steiner went to do the bulldog, yeah. And he didn't come with or something like that. It was actually Buff Bagwell's fault.
It was one of those. I remember watching the replay, and it was a freak accident. It literally was one of those, really weird situations where Buff just he I don't know if it was his fault necessarily, but he messed up.
Well, it looked like he went to push off of Steiner instead of going with the move. That makes sense. And it was a bulldog off the top rope.
Yes.
And it was actually botched out upon Steiner, but then I remember it happening because it was just really weird. All of a sudden I think they cut to commercial or something like that. It was just really weird how it happened. And everyone were
like, what ended up happening was that he was in the ring for the next half hour. Then they couldn't move him. They had to get him out on a stretcher, and it took over half an hour to do. So, but the thing is, I don't think that this one was that bad because, to be honest, as a wrestling fan watching that, when Buff Bagwell was in the wheelchair and then he got up and actually attacked Steiner, I was like, what the hell is going on? I actually thought he was really paralyzed because it was a real incident that they were playing off as being, it was kayfabe. So, I don't think that this should be number 3.
No.
I don't think it should be on the list.
No, it shouldn't be. Same thing with Al Wilson. But number 2, Sandman's Crucifixion?
Yeah. This is Kurt Angle was going to come to ECW. And on that show, Raven and Stevie Richards crucified Sandman. They put him up on, a crucifix. Mm-hmm. So,
I now remember this. That's right. Okay, yeah. And that's right, because they would have had Kurt Angle. Because he was there. That's right, he was there that night, and he decided not to go with ECW only because of that, right? Unbelievable, yeah. I forgot about that.
This one was really bad.
Okay, so, oh gosh. Number 1. What is it, Aaron?
It's it's exploiting of Eddie Guerrero.
what is it? Was it the Eddie exploitation, or...
Oh, yeah, gosh. Exploitation.
with the one that tops of the list because, with the exception of Buff Bagwell, it's very real and it's disgraceful. Yeah, I remember this. Oh, yeah. That was bad. Actually, that was a horrible... I remember that day. That was horrible. Horrible. Well,
it was sad that Eddie Guerrero passed away, but the fact that WWE really banked on it, and they were selling EG armbands to people, and then Rey Mysterio won the Royal Rumble because thanks to Eddie Guerrero, Chavo Guerrero got a push. I mean, they really just honestly, I think they ruined his name, in my opinion. So.
I mean, I don't think that they ruined it. I mean, I actually liked the storyline, what they did. I just didn't like the fact that it's like it kept going on and on and on, and Chavo did the frog splash. And just at some point, you just got to say, okay, now we're done with it. But they, I mean, he had the EG armband, I think, when he won the belt too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, at some point, I think they should have stopped it. But you know what the messed up part is? I actually remember when he died.
Yeah, it was the day after your wedding.
Yes. I wasn't sure if you're going to remember that. Yeah, we got that news, and it was like 11 o'clock, and then I was like, guess who died? And you're like, who? I'm like, Eddie Guerrero. And you're like, said something we're not going to say on the show. But we, you know, yeah, it was really weird. We couldn't believe it. And then all of a sudden, it was like, how did he die? How did he die? How did he die? Because wasn't that night, wasn't he supposed to win the belt?
Yes.
Okay.
He was supposed to win the WWE Championship, if I'm correct.
Right.
What ended up happening, his heart couldn't take it, right? Like, because he wasn't doing any drugs, years of doing drugs.
You know, he was still doing, like, growth hormones, and with growth hormones, like, basically his heart was twice the size, kidneys twice the size, basically all of his internal organs were twice the size of what they should be. And that's mm-hmm. from him using it over and over again. But I think they said at one point he stopped, which wouldn't surprise me. Not at all. I mean, because Eddie changes way. I mean, Eddie and actually Chris also, Chris Benoit, changed their ways at a couple of points in their lives. But Eddie's just was too, he just had that heart attack. And I think they said, who was it that found him? Was it Chavo?
I think it was, yeah.
It was sad. Very sad story. But,
yeah. I mean, it's really unfortunate. And it's one of those things, too, where, you know, honestly, WWE, I think, just exploited the hell out of his death. And, you know, Chris Benoit, had he not, you know, gone crazy and killed his family, I think they probably would have exploited his death, too, you know,
if it was
natural causes, you know.
Well, I thought it was funny that they found out what really happened, and they still went on with the show, which was, you know, I think they needed to do it anyways, you know, say thank you to him. But, oh, well. On a lighter note, though, I want to say something since I wasn't here last week. Money in the Bank, that pay-per-view, the Money in the Bank matches were really good. Really, really good. I like the fact that Miz won, but I don't know where they're going to go with it because I don't see him being a world champion. So I'm just trying to figure out what's going on with that. Anywho's, I'll let you think about the Miz because he's awesome and stuff. Anyways, of course, let's go ahead and cut the show. Aaron, first off, thanks for doing the show last week. And of course, thank you for doing the show this week, of course. Excellent job, as always. I want to say thanks to all of our fans that listen to the show every week. We appreciate all the downloads. It's great to hear that you guys are liking the show. Any feedback that we can get is great. So if you want to shoot us a message, just send us a message, email offthemark86@section86.com, or just send it to WWE@section86.com, and we'll take off the email. Or if you're on the Twitter, offthemark86, he is AP Hughes. I am A Hughes 86. And, well, until next time, we're tagging out.